Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I was meanwhile discovering it on like my friend's father's.
Oh my God. A friend's father, the things they did not do to us, but we wish they did.
Honey.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? This week, we've got Gus Hegarty on the podcast. You maybe follow him on Instagram or have seen him on his stunning boyfriend's page. That's right, Dan Garosi Pelosi is Gus Hegarty's gorgeous boyfriend. And God, it's been a long time coming. Gus and I talk body hair, being a fashion faggot, him, not me. And we also discuss what's been done to Jennifer Coolidge. If you are curious about the Patreon this week, our bonus episode is actually kind of vulny. It's about friendship breakups as adults, something that I've not talked about publicly, but felt comfy to talk about on the podcast for the girlies there. I've had a plot twist happen this week with a friend that kind of brought up a lot of big feelings about two big changes in my friendships. And I would love to see you there if that interests you. Just $5 a month, and we already have 3 bonus episodes up about my brother's bachelor party, about friendship breakups, and about the Korean spa bathhouse experience I had on my birthday. So check it out. Also, New Yorkers, I'll be there in just a few weeks to do That's a Gay Ass Live show in the New York Comedy Festival. It's a big darn deal. It's a 6:30 p.m. show on Friday, November 3rd, with Bowen Yang, Broadway's Jessica Vosk, Chris Murphy of Vanity Fair, and we just booked Mamshi as the drag queen of the night. Meatball of Sloppy Seconds fame has posted a million clips of Mamshi online, and I have fallen in love. And she is going to be doing the show along with some other future guests to be announced soon, our himbos, etc. So check out the description or my bio for the tickets to That's a Gay Ass Live show on November 3rd in New York City at Chelsea Music Hall. We're going to get into this episode with Gus Hegarty, the sexy, funny, smart otter of the century. If you enjoy the episode, let me know on Instagram. I'm at Eric Wills. You can follow Gus or tag the podcast at GayAssPodcast. And check out the Patreon at patreon.com/gayasspodcast for only $5 a month. And so far, I've been doing bonus episodes every single week, and I have no intention of slowing that down. Enjoy. Gus, we met in purse all of like a month ago, and now we're here on this podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This like feels like my bar mitzvah. I'm so excited. The bar mitzvah I never had.
You're already giving references that are mandatory and appreciated. So you never had a bar mitzvah. Do you?
No.
If you were to have one, what would your theme have been?
It would be different if it was now, but I think back then it definitely would have been like skateboarding.
Oh, sure. You were straight presenting.
Yeah. Oh, honey, she was shape-shifting. Yeah.
What do they call it when code switching?
You were code switching. Yes. Yeah.
Which I think we kind of all were, but if you were going to actively choose skateboarding, honey, you were fully in it.
No, I was enmeshed. And I loved skateboarding culture. I really did, and I still do. It wasn't like a full drag, but it was... You know, it was outsider. It was against the system. It was weirdos who skated. So I was like, I was feeling it out. I knew I belonged there for some reason.
God, this is so beautiful to hear, because when I met you in person, all I saw was this like evolved Brooklynite, gay, gorgeous otter. And I had no idea you had a skateboarding past. So here we are to tell the tale.
I think I would have wished that my bar mitzvah theme was like Broadway or like Hollywood. You know, like I was an aspiring performer, but like didn't know it. But I didn't have a relationship to that stuff yet at 13.
Well, I'm just jealous that you were able to feel able to do skateboarding culture, because I had friends when I was in middle school who we went to the I think it was called like Ramp Riders, or like it was alliterative, and they would skateboard or rollerblade down very steep inclines, and it scared the shit out of me every time.
Yeah, that was my jam. I had a longboard too. I would like, we would call it bombing hills in my neighborhood. It was terrifying, and I fell a lot. But I think the adrenaline was part of it. I mean, I wasn't good at it. Like, let's be clear. Like, when I was skating, it was for the merch. It was like brand allegiance. Like, I loved all the merch. I loved the designs. I was like kind of like scooting around with my board and like kicking it and like performing like, oh, can't get this trick. Ugh,
oh, my
it's
God.
It's driving me crazy.
I think brand allegiance, we don't give it enough credit for the things. I mean, I've told this story a long time ago. I entered an ice skating hockey competition when my brothers also entered, and I only did it because they were giving out free merch. And guess who lost the contest? My three straight brothers. Guess who was selected? This faggotrini. And they were so pissed. They saw me like improperly hold a hockey stick. Oh God, I felt good.
Yeah, but you had earned that stick. What was the merch Sweetie. That you got? Was it like a jersey? Like a mesh?
I got jersey. I got mesh. I got stick. I don't think I got skate, but I apparently earned a free lesson with NHL players, but we were out of town during it. So I don't think I think I maybe went to a practice sesh, but wow, that is transporting me, because my brothers, when they did play hockey and I got one peek into the locker room, smelled like shit. And yet I wanted to be enmeshed. Oof.
Yes. Talking about wanting to be there, be a part of the team, and just shape-shift on into their locker room.
And then onto my knees, the showers, we got it.
That's right. That's right.
There's a lot of things I want to discuss on this podcast with you, because, God, I am such a fan of yours. I'm such a fan of your stunning husband of 38 years, Dan Grossi Pelosi. And this has been a long time coming. So let's first get into when we met. You were in LA at the gorgeous Grossi Pelosi book tour, and you are still in the middle of that right now. Are you surviving?
I'm surviving. It's been immense. I'm kind of winding down my chapter of it. Dan goes back out tomorrow on his book tour. Plug for Let's Eat. Get that cookbook if you haven't. but yeah, it was pretty wild. I mean, it was super fun, super stimulating to meet all these wonderful people that have been following him and following me for a while.
Yeah.
And also, I just like lost track of like where we were at any given moment. Like the country really starts, you start to see the homogenization of all of our poor cities when you're traveling back to back in all those cities and going to like.
Is there one chain restaurant that you would make you forget where you were, or maybe one that sparked joy or pain?
No, it's more like Everlane, you know, like just like the feeling of like, oh, there's an Everlane like in downtown Boston. And like, I was, of course, being asked, like, how are you enjoying Blank City by everyone where I was? And I was like, truthfully, like, we're staying in your downtown at some hotel that's like doing like some weird like concept where it's like an army bunker or like minimalism. And like,
it used to be where Chernobyl was and now it's a hotel.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you didn't know you needed a record player in your room and it's on the floor, just like artists did in the 1970s. And you're like,
does a record player work? Absolutely not. But it has a his and his sink.
Exactly. Yeah. So just this sort of vapid regurgitation of like what you see on your Instagram feed, just like made into like structures across the country. So like at one point we were in Boston, I was just like typing addresses that I thought we were going to in Seattle. And I was like, why isn't this working? And Tim was like,
it says it's 38-hour drive away.
Exactly. Like the Lyft was like, Lyft can't take you that far. And I was like, what is it talking about?
Sweetie, we can't go to the Tacoma Airport. Exactly. We're in Cambridge.
Yeah.
I get that, though. It's both beautiful to probably see so many faces of supporters of yours and Dan's, but also you want to be able to perform the, oh my God, Boston has been so gorgeous. I didn't know you had that tiny artist flea market. And instead, you're like, you're Everlane on Main Street.
Yeah.
Looks like a great franchise compared to what I saw in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, it also just gets at something that I've been pretty obsessed with lately, which is just like travel as this like conversation piece and like our culture's obsession with travel, but like more the like checking it off kind of mentality we have around when we visit places. Mm. Like the anxiety that I feel when I've told someone I've gone to a city and then I know that I'm about to field a bunch of questions of like, did you do? And I'm like, did I do? Like, did I fuck it? Did I complete it? Like, it's just like this, like, I grabbed the activity and like masticated it and now I'm done. And it's like, that's just so like, you know, there was this feeling of like, where are you going to eat when you're here? And I'm like,
it's very achievement oriented and focused. Yeah. And I'm getting to the point in my adulthood where it's very scary to post even just for your friends where you are on the planet, because if you happen to know a single third cousin, they're going to be pissed you did not take them to the Cheesecake Factory. I was in Chicago for my brother's bachelor party, and I on purpose did not, you know, tell anyone that I was, what geographic location I would be in, because I was already dealing with enough. I mean, right. I was already sort of, there was a lot of anticipation leading into that.
In your DMs. I'm sure you were, I was not the only person asking a lot of questions.
But you're the only one that mattered, Gus.
You're
the only one that mattered.
Yeah.
But I mean, I literally had to do a bonus episode on the Patreon because there was so much to unpack. And I posted that I went out in Boys Town, and immediately a lot of gay people were like, oh my. And by the way, I loved that part because I was like, God, it's so, I love that you can post a single sign of a gay bar and then have 20 people be like,
did you get plugged in the bathroom at Steamworks?
And I'm like, God, I love these questions. The straight boys did not know to ask me about Steamworks.
No. We have our own little list of to-dos, the eatery for gays. Yeah, that... I mean, that sequence was, as I said, was in your DMs for it because it was, I mean, it was thrilling. It was like you were getting to see an underworld that, you know, we're not always invited to the bachelor party. Was that what it was?
It was, and we're not. And there, it very much was a study abroad that I did not sign up for, kind of.
Yeah. You didn't know all the languages.
No, God, no. I really, I had to study up on how to not be called a faggot. But I do, by the way, none of that.
Yeah, like they're like all not homophobic. Like,
I know,
the dramatization of us around straight people, like, it was so scary. Like, I can't.
Well, that's literally, I told the boys, when we were together, I said, the only reason I can drag you on the internet is because you're actually being quite nice to me.
Yeah.
And they were like punching up my posts. I mean, come on now.
Totally.
I went to, I'll shout him out. There was this guy, Michael, who I he became one of my crushes, and I would show him a post and be like, what do you think? Clearly asking for approval. And then I could tell he liked it, I liked it. So all this to say, lots of healing, mm-hmm. and sure, a bit of controversy. Mm-hmm. But I do need to get into the controversial Gay Ass Podcast question for you, Gus Hegarty. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
I think it's like there's three parts to it for me, and some of them are not humans. But we'll start with the human first. I blame 1989 Parenthood, the movie. I blame Steve Martin. I blame him. And I'm going to take him to court today for, he's on trial for wearing Levi's 501 jeans on the baseball diamond. And just being like a goofy, like he's like goofy, but he's like stressed out being a father. And he's also so hot to me. Now, at this point, I didn't know this. Like, this is like a family movie that we were like watching annually as a family.
I'm going to say, babe, I Googled you. You were born in 88. Yeah. So this was kind of at the time almost like throwback, but still of enough recent memory that every year you watched it and it was perfect nostalgia.
Yeah. I mean, it's somewhat of like, it's like a birthstone because it was like the year after I was born. Like, it was kind of
oh
like,
oh my God, that's such a good, chart. That's such a good question. Your male horn birthstone, you're exactly. A Steve Martin in Parenthood son,
like who was rising when you were born, do you know what I mean, like what male figure was rising.
Oh my God, wait, that I might have to like completely take that from you and then ask it to every single person I meet, mm-hmm. because Steve Martin I get, and I just looked at a picture in Parenthood, I very much co-sign what you're saying, and he already had of course his emblematic salt and pepper hair.
Oh yeah, there's a scene in that movie, there's two scenes I want to highlight. There's a scene, one scene with Mary Steenburgen, who like I wanted to be, she like kind of yes. looks like my mother vaguely, and I was like, that's me, just like she had this like shrug kind of like cotton long sleeve that was like falling off her shoulders, and it was like yes. nighttime, and they were having like a parents kind of like bedroom chat. And all of a sudden, it cuts a frame. It's like terrible editing, but it's also beautiful. It cuts frame and suddenly Steve Martin's pants are off. And he's like walking around the room in these gray briefs. And you are just like watching the architecture move through space.
Does it look heavy?
Oh, I mean, it's not even that. It's just that like, I'm curious.
What lies beneath?
What lies beneath? How is it moving? Why is it laying that direction? Like what's happening? And then there's like multiple shots of it. And again, like I'm watching this as a young person, and like I love this movie. Everyone else, meanwhile, like if you talk to anyone now, is like, oh my God, Keanu Reeves in that movie, because Keanu Reeves is having like this major star turn as a very young actor. And like, sure. I could not be bothered. I didn't even pay attention to what was happening there.
You said, fuck the twink, give me the dad.
That's right. And then there's another scene later in the film where he walks across the baseball field to his like crying child who sucks at baseball. I can relate. And
As you skin your knees, small skateboard.
My God. Yeah. And so, and he walks across the baseball diamond and he's wearing these like beautiful medium wash Levi's 501s. And again, I'm just like riveted by how the architecture of the jeans against his cock and balls. It's just.
Yeah. And I think we need to, for a second, label how much of a fashion faggot you are. And I love that so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Because the next part that I blame, I took that little pattern framework and like was moving around the
copying and pasted. Yeah.
Honey, anytime I saw a man in Levi's 501s, I was like, stop everything. I like so distracted.
Stop the world. I want to get on.
Yeah, exactly. I want to like slowly unbutton. It was the button fly of the Levi's and the way that been like. I mean, and little did I know at this point that there was like the 1970s was full of this iconic imagery of like bulges and like Levi's. I didn't know that like leather guys were all into this, but like I was meanwhile discovering it on like my friend's father's. Like I was.
Oh my God. A friend's father, the things they did not do to us, but we wish they did.
Funny. And they were like coaching my baseball team, my soccer team. And I was like, yeah. Like, do you need help at the house after? Like, I'm a really good helper.
I specifically, do you need help buttoning your Levi's? Yeah,
exactly. I was like, I'll fold them, like, I'll put them away. I just want to, like, be with them.
In Parenthood, did Steve Martin have thigh hair around the undies? Do you remember that?
I do, of course. He doesn't. He's like, he's not a very hairy guy, which I also, like, definitely think is extremely hot. Like, there were other older daddies of my childhood that didn't look just like Steve Martin, but he did not. Why do you ask?
Because I'm fishing. Yeah. I always, when I get to talk to a gorgeous hairy king like yourself, I always like to touch on our relationship to body hair because it is something that I struggled with. But
yeah.
were you a shaver for a while or did you always embrace? Because I know you grew up in like, I feel like Northern California, probably it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
It could have gone, we want to be Abercrombie back, or it could have gone, no, we are the land of leather daddies who embrace the hair. Where did you fall?
I was in a household that was so nurturing and so loving towards the body hair. So I had a lot of conversations with my mom early on, like, so what are we going to do about this? Like, can you start shaving my back? Like, can we shave the chest? Because, like, I don't look like the other boys. The beautiful twinks who are, like, rippling abs all of a sudden. And I'm, like, meanwhile, like, husky and just, like, prepubescent.
What is that about? The fucking 14 and a half year olds who already have a sick 8-pack?
It's so scary. Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah, just, like, landing the turn perfectly. So, yeah, I try. Let's see. What did your
mom say?
Oh, was like, honey, I don't think you want to get into that. Like, it only grows back thicker. And she was, like, trying to, like, educate with just, like, facts without having, like, an opinion. And then was also...
Is that a fact about it growing back thicker? I've never known.
I don't know. I mean, I believed it. Like, I took that in and was, like, then terrified anytime that I did go and hack. Like, it was the back, the, like, top neck hair that I was, like, the most terrified of.
Oh, I was more ortified when the guy cutting my hair would shave my neck. And then he'd have to go a little bit lower. Oh, yeah. I would be literally blood... Yeah, past the t-shirt line, blood seeping into my face.
Oh, baby.
Picturing the entire salon, staring, pointing, laughing silently. Aww. I mean, that's how it felt in my gay bones.
Yeah.
When, of course, no one gave a shit. And it's taken me, you know, decades to be like, it doesn't fucking change my value of a human if I have hair in one place. But no, it is a real thing. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, let it be not like we're as young little gay boys, like, marking all the differences between us and others. And yet now let's add this other layer, which is like this inevitable thing that's just going to happen to your body that's markedly different than everyone else's.
Yes.
And yeah, it's rough. So did you shave or did you like play with Nair?
Oh, honey. I shaved.
She was a hairless little twonk.
She was. I mean, the hilarious thing is you could like see my like sad, devastating stubble because I had to shave every 2 hours and then my completely hairless body. And you're like, something isn't adding up. We went on a trip my senior year and I waxed. Ooh. We went on a trip with like my fellow classmates and I waxed from chin to trail.
Whoa.
From chin to trail, I waxed.
Yeah.
And it was... I mean, not even like funny, like 40-year-old virgin. It was like, just picture sad violin, single tear, as I'm like, this is not my choice. Society chose for me. I cannot have a single piece of body hair. Yeah. I was just like, for whatever reason, I think it's what you're saying, actually, is like any difference that I had would have signaled that I was gay. And this was mere months before I came out. So I was like on like the rock bottom of closetedness, just like knowing the inevitable, but not feeling like there was a way out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I waxed my entire front, which was, and back. I mean, it was just so, it was, and then you look at pictures and it's just like,
oh, baby. Well,
what were we doing? Yeah. Baby. And then it wasn't until, I mean, luckily when I went to college and I didn't have the energy to do any of that, I just let it grow and then hooked up with guys who liked it. And then I was like, and it literally had to like rewire my brain.
That's right. I remember that moment, hooking up with guys and then them like letting me know that body hair was hot. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry. I just have something that you like and I don't have to do anything. Thank God. Finally.
Were you doing that? Did you hook up with any boys when you were growing up or was it when you left the house? Because I know you went to school in North Carolina, right?
Yeah. I went to school in North Carolina. I hooked up with, not really in high school, maybe it was in high school, like late. I came out right after I graduated, like on my 18th birthday, because she's a Leo and a drama queen. And I was like, this will be great.
And, good for you.
But like, I was in quiet fantasy over teachers and friends' dads. Like, I just had no interest in the boys in my school. Like, I wasn't attracted to anyone in my class. So there was never any like longing that I sort of like now hear from friends that's like so beautiful, the way they like followed their like quarterback around and was like just desperately waiting. And like, that was not my story. So I think I was patiently waiting. And then, yeah, once I got to college, I kind of cut loose and started getting the things I wanted.
Did you fuck dads in college?
I did. Yeah. She got what she wanted. I had
like, where did she meet them? Out and about or on the computer Dora?
Yeah, because at that point Grindr was out, and I think maybe I didn't really No. Okay, wait. I didn't lose my virginity, like my butt virginity, until I was 21. And that was in Ashland, Oregon, with a dear friend who's still a friend of mine now, who was my age or a little older. I don't think I really got my daddy shit on until I left college, actually. And that was through, like, maybe there was just like some freedom. No, okay, there was one. I shouldn't talk about it on the pod, but I almost got kicked out of school. Let's just say that. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love this tease. I'm not going to make you say anything else, but I am going to conjecture in front of you while you stare at me. I'm going to paint a picture that what happened is that you hooked up with a professor. And then right. if that would have been found out, then it would have been firing of the professor. I don't know why you would have been kicked out, because that's what we call slut shaming in my industry. However, it is unfortunately so hot to hear that.
Oh, and my God. It was extremely hot. It was everything I had wanted and fantasized about. I had like watched porn around it for years. So
you did that.
But
you,
I will tell that. You, the reality versus the fantasy was not as good. You know, like the ramifications after, the shame, the all the other shit that happened was not as fun.
Oh, but God.
We lived. And then after college, I like really went after it, because I found out there was Daddy Hunt, the app, instead of Scruff. I was like, oh, and an even more niche app designed for someone like me. And it actually, like, on a real truthful level, like, it was really liberating, because I think, again, another layer within the gay community of making me feel other was that, like, I was attracted to guys who were way older than me, and everyone was like, oh, that's so gross. Like, aren't their balls saggy? And like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, this is something I can't control. Like, I don't know why I'm attracted to these folks, but like, I am. So can I go enjoy it?
Gus, let me tell you, you're putting to my mind a devastating image. I had hooked up with a daddy my like junior year of college. And he lived in a fancy apartment by Washington Square Park. And I was walking with him hand in hand while he walked his greyhound, and I lock eyes with a classmate of mine, 21-year-old classmate.
Yeah.
It's almost like in a movie. He like stares at me shocked, turns his head, runs away, and I say, cut to close up to me, fuck. Blackout, fade up, fade open to the next day at school. Everyone knows about it. He has told everyone that Eric's fucking this 50-year-old. And it was like a point of shame. Like, it was like, can you believe he's doing this? But like, I don't regret the hookup at all. I wish he was a better kisser. I'm going to say that.
Sure.
But all in all, I lived and learned.
Exactly. But like, it's like, if you had just swapped out that 50-year-old for like hot jock, and the next day everyone was talking about it, you would have been walking around like fucking, you know, Regina George, just like, yeah, it's me.
I'd be sitting on the shoulders of the other classmates. It would be like a perpetual bar mitzvah party for sure.
Exactly. Dancing the hora over and over for you.
Talk about hora. I want to see a Samantha Jones do a you're so not invited to my bar mitzvah, Samantha Jones version. Talk about a hora.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I want to get into some of your inspiration for these gorgeous videos you post. You have posted a video about gays in September where you make fun of gays who like neutral colors. They love the chill in the air and they love a chunky sock. Gus, mm-hmm. Are you making fun of us or are you looking within and labeling your own love for fall?
Oh, I couldn't have said it more beautifully. It's the latter for sure. I'd say across the board. When I make these videos, my inspiration, it comes from within. I go after the most embarrassing thing that I observe myself doing.
Yes.
Or not necessarily embarrassing. Definitely embarrassment is like a huge, like, ding, ding, ding. I've got something here. Let's talk about it. But also just like observing the like tiniest, most specific, quirky things that I do. And I'm like, how do I articulate this? And sometimes I turn up the volume on it and satirize it a little bit more and like turn it up. But like, I'm always coming for myself first. And then inevitably, because the specific becomes universal, like everyone's like, oh my God, that's me. And I'm like, yeah, babe, like we're all living in the same times. Like we all went to liberal arts school. Like we're all living in New York. There's nothing new here.
Well, that's why your video when you're an actor congratulating their friend after their performance, who are you? It's devastating because it as a fellow actress, performtress, theatrical prisoner, I do find us to be simultaneously inspiring and the worst people to be around. And I think that video sort of sums it up.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I have so much love and affection and empathy and sympathy and fucking applause for people trying to be just like noble and like good, you know, but like at the end of the day, we're living in a culture that has like made us all like narcissists who just like stare at ourselves and are so aware of watching ourselves because that's all we do on the internet is like post pictures of ourselves and then like watch people react to pictures of me.
But it's also, I think there's like the theater of it all is it's also society has built that universe to be nearly impossible to find success in. And yet we all want to project how not only not successful, but like how we can make ourselves feel important within that devastating realm. And so it's like you have to respect the hustle, but also underneath it all, I find it to be so deeply sad in a very funny human way.
Me too. Absolutely. I mean, I think great comedy, and for me, like, a lot of my work is like right on that line of like, this is the saddest, most depressing thing that I've experienced, and also so fucking funny to me. Like, that we have all been like trapped on this app where we like have to like announce that like, I'll be taking a break. You all will not see me for 6 months as I go out on this venture. And I'm like, babe, just turn it off. Like,
and by the way, it ends up being 6 days, if we're being honest.
100%. Or if it's like 6 months, it's like, well, I'm back and it was amazing, you guys. But here's what I learned, you know, like just the like performance of like, I'm detached, but I'm also like completely stuck in this little environment.
Well, and to make us feel a little better, I will say this because my brother did publicly drag himself. My younger brother got like a fancy finance job in California. He was living in Chicago, and his friends threw him a going away party. And then days later, he decided to not take the job and stay in Chicago. So like, it happens across industries, babe. Like, weeping at the party, I'm gonna miss you boys so much. And then like by Wednesday the next week, he's like, yeah, I'm actually staying. Do you guys want to go to I don't know, Everlane and get a beer?
Absolutely. I'm kidding. But like, I mean, here's the thing is like, I think it speaks to this, like, and this is something I'm obsessed with, and I have it myself. I'm someone who's like long done morning pages in Artist Way, has like announced to many friends that like, I'll be going to grad school this fall for like, at, you know, like grad school is huge in our community. Like, we love to announce we're going to grad school. But like, all of it speaks toward this like addiction to self-revelation, because self-revelation has social capital. Like, if I post on Instagram that I'm like, I'm now actually moving to Minnesota to live in the woods, or what, you know, whatever the fucking thing is. It's like, we love revelation, because like, what it screams is like growth and like success. And like,
this is devastating to label, because you're so right. You're so right. But I do want to like commend you and Dan both on one of the things I really like about not only just like your presence on the internet, but also like, it's so nice to feel a connection with people and to feel like, for example, Dan with this book is obviously a huge deal, and he should be not only proud, but posting his asshole out like as much as he can. And he's not only doing that, but doing it in a way where like, we are still rooting for that. And I think that's a skill that could be taught in university, which is like how to live out loud and proud and not make people want to kill you. Yeah. Like, that to me is a very commendable skill.
Yeah.
And when I got to meet you and Dan both in person, it's just like, that's how you know it's working. It's because it's translating from the internet to in person. Mm-hmm. I think that is like something I aspire to, and the best type of people are. Because you know, there are people who are posting their self-revelations, they're posting their loud personality, their huge things, and then you meet them in person and it's just very not the same thing. And I'm not dragging them. It's just like, it's clearly like a very interesting curation of like posting, and sometimes it meshes with your IRL-ness and sometimes it completely goes against it. And I just find it's all very interesting.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for reflecting that back. That's very generous, and I'm happy to hear it. Dan is, he's a wonderfully optimistic and joyful person in my experience of him in our private relationship. And I think that's a big part of himself, and he's chosen to sort of let that part shine through on Instagram. It's not to say that, like, obviously what you see on Instagram is not our entire life, and there are, like, low moments. And he's not someone who's like trying to masquerade and share it, like be like, oh, no, that's not happening. It's just like, he's aware that like, this is a platform for me to share this part of myself and my experience. Mm-hmm. So I think what gets confusing and what you're hitting on is like, when we started out and like, you're with me, girl, like we were on Facebook and like, you posted a 19 photo album of like an evening out with friends. And so like, these things initially started as just like a little like live journal, like sharing with your friends, like what happened. But now that it's like become a platform, and like so many people like Dan are like building businesses and things off of it, careers, it's like confusing, because you're supposed to just be like, here's me at the gym. But it's like with the shellac of like, this has to be an advertisement also.
Yeah.
And so I think that's dark. Where we hit this like dark, where people are like, who am I in real life? Because it's like, I've created this thing that I'm doing on the internet, but it's not me.
It's so true. And I think that the most successful we can be is like taking it the least seriously possible while also like harnessing the power of just like putting the dumb things up that people identify with. Yeah. And since we are talking about you and Dan together, you posted a gorgeous shot of your Daniversary. And I want to ask about the next part of this caption. You said, quote, I love that you're pool and I'm beach.
Mm. Some of my best poetry.
Your beach.
Yeah, I'm a beach girl for sure. So
what does that say? What does that say about you versus Dan being pool?
Wow, that's a beautiful question. So pools are inherently artificial. I'm kidding.
Just drag pools, him, drag yeah, him. Pools,
I mean, no, that is like actually like I think the control of a pool is what Dan likes. Mm. Dan likes to know where the edges are. He likes to know this has been cleaned. He likes to know that like where did this come from?
Nary a jellyfish to be seen.
Yeah, and I'm like, girl, send me into the abyss. Like, how many people have swam these waters? What's underneath? Oh my God, it's terrifying. But I think it's also I just grew up around all of that, so it like has a sentimental place for me. Like I really like spending time by the ocean. I don't know, like I'll be honest, like I'm fucking scared of the ocean. I wanted to be a surfer and like I went to surf camp and like spent time in the water, but like I'm so scared of sharks. And so that abyss is both like thrilling because it's so much bigger than me, but also like I am so scared when I'm in the water sometimes.
Which is somewhat poetry to say, like we love the vastness and yet we're deeply afraid of it. But I do find that the older I get, the more afraid I get of the ocean. And I don't love that for me. Like when I went to Black's Beach recently, which I discussed in last week's episode, because that is, of course, the nudie beach where I posted an episode saying, don't listen, mom. And my mom, in fact, just listened to and called me to tell me so.
Went ahead and listened.
But I bring this up because both times I've been there, multiple people have been bit by stingrays. And the second I witness that happen, I will not go more than a 3-centimeter length into the water. I just like, it's, if there's a single chance now,
yeah,
why would I risk it? Which I don't love about me, but that's what's happening.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I mean, there was shark attacks this summer, like in exorbitant numbers at Reese and like all over New York, where like historically there's never been sharks or attacks. And I'm like, that was my place. Like I love swimming there because I knew there were no sharks. Now it is getting worse, and it's climate change, and you know, it's generally the world is a dumpster fire and et cetera. But I think, no, I'm with you. Like I can't get in the water and not like play out the movie in my head about what's happening and what's going to happen. And like, it's definitely going to be me.
Oh yeah.
I was out alone and it was like, a little too late. Like, I just, like, I write
Sweetie,
the new
you
story.
You came out on your 18th birthday. It's going to happen to you. It's if there's a shark attack, it will be you.
It's going to be me. Yeah.
It's, and then the movie version, the true crime documentary is, it's slow motion, Backstreet Boys going, it's going to be me. And then the camera slowly pans around you. You spot a daddy. The shark is behind you.
Oh, my God. I mean, David Hasselhoff was early daddy to Baywatch. I was like pretending to watch Pam Anderson and I was like, who is that man? And that, again, body hair, there we go.
Relatable.
Perfect. Beautiful demonstration of beautiful body hair.
Beautiful body hair. Do you remember the last time you shaved your body hair? I'm hoping it was at least 2 decades.
I was listening to your story and I'm remembering that I did do it once. And the way I framed it, because I was too embarrassed to admit that I wanted to like be like everyone else, was I was like, I just want to like try it. Like, I was like, you guys, like, you realize I've never really seen my stomach? Like, that's crazy. I should like shave this and just like see, just like horridly not true and just silly. So then I think it was in college in North Carolina, one time I took like a beard trimmer to it. I didn't like Bic shave it.
Good for you.
I don't think I did my chest though, because I was so scared of just like,
oh, you did you did the cutoff.
I did my belly because I have a ton of belly hair. And so I just did the belly I think also at that point I was like, do I have abs?
Did you?
And like, are they covered by body hair? Is that the problem? No, I did not have abs. Like, it was not the issue.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. They're not hiding. I mean, they're hiding, but they're not hiding under body hair.
The relatability is gorgeous.
Yeah, but then, you know, coming around to accepting, I feel like that's just life, though, is like hating something about yourself. And then the moment that you come around to love it is like, oh, finally. That's something Dan has really taught me. Like, that man really understands how to walk the path with self-love. And that word is fucking cringy, obviously. But like, he's taught me a lot about listening to what other people say, taking it in, ruining yourself over it, and then like regurgitating that back into like joy and harmony. So
Are you talking about like hearing anything critical?
Yeah, just like if you hear that, you know, because like for us, like you'll remember the thing that like a stranger on a street said. It's like not even like, oh, my mom used to say this, or like someone in your close family. It's like someone just needs to say like one off-color remark at the Amoeba Records and you're like, I'll throw myself off the bridge.
And that's all you can think about. I even do that with not proud, but I'm working on this with Matt. I think like I've been really discussing in our couples therapy about like what support looks like as a partner, especially for me being in this world of just like constantly putting out a podcast, doing this live show. It's like I am figuring out what the healthy version of that support looks like, because he is not my collaborator. He is not my, you know, assistant. He is not, but if there is something that like he can say 25 great things and then maybe one thing that he maybe thought could be improved upon, of course, what am I thinking of? The one thing, which is like not, he's like, well, fuck my drag. I just gave you 25 compliments, but it's like,
right,
it's,
you're not hearing that.
Yeah, it is about the self-love. It's like, if you are seeking out the criticisms because you're trying to prove that they're true, well, that's already, you're at a loss. And that's something that I'm working on. I mean, it's hard. And I love that Dan is like that example of not doing that.
Yeah. And like, to be fair, he's like us, like it's taken years. He's got a few years on me. And like, I think it wasn't always that way, but he's in a really good season where he's kind of found the rhythm with that. And he still gets, you know, blown to the side by it sometimes and knocked over. But
well, of course, I think that that's a testament to like just putting in the years of the awareness of it, because I do think there are a lot of people who don't even know that's what they're doing. But I think someone like Dan, and I think it will be us when we get to be like a few years down of like, okay, I can actually feel like this practice of not punching myself in the fucking asshole because one mean comment is like, you know, oh, I can see my muscle memory has now gotten stronger.
Yeah, I mean, I relate to that so much. I think so much of it is like I learned early on taking up space was dangerous because I was made fun of when I did it, or like when I tried, it was like humiliating.
Oh, yeah.
So part of the way we keep ourselves smaller, I keep myself small, is to like a million forms of self-sabotage, to like basically not let myself have the opportunity to do something, try something. So
I'm sitting with that. That is very, very well said. And you know what we do deserve? To take up a delicious amount of space and to let and leave trail of body hair behind us.
Yeah. Not shaved, just like shed. Because I shed. Do you shed?
Not shaved. Of course.
Okay. Yeah.
Sweetie, of course. But Gus, I can't have you on this gay-ass podcast without asking the next podcast question. Gus Hegarty, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Okay. I've thought about this long and hard. I've made my lists.
You've checked it twice.
Yeah, and I almost proposed. I was like, I'll tell him I need multiple. And I was like, yeah, right. That's why he asked for one.
I do like this inside the actor's studio. Go on. Okay. Who is it?
It's Laura Dern.
I see that for you.
Thank you. Yeah. And so let's get really sharp and specific here, though, because obviously I say that name and she carries like a lot of gay iconography. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to live in the general here. We're not going to just live in like, yes, bitch, you're an icon, gagged. Like, no. I want to get really specific with a couple key moments from Laura Dern, which is why I need, personally, I need her on the island with me. Because yes. She reflects so much back to me personally, which is why I think you reacted the way you did. You're like, I see that for you.
I do.
So, like, broadly, Laura Dern is one of the best actors of our time. Period.
Correct. Correct.
And if you need to talk to me further about this, I'm happy to. She is willing, and keyword willing, she's willing to put the most despicable, embarrassing parts of herself in front of us. But she does it with such truth and integrity that it's like, it's so uncomfortable to watch because it's so true. So, and to me, that is like what a great clown does, for lack of a better term, because that's like cringy drama school language. But like,
can I give you a line that makes me think? Your description points me to the line of, I will not be rich.
Oh.
That performance of that line, I think, is a great example of that. Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth bubbling up. And she, oh my God, yeah, I'll never forget that in the car. Yeah, Renata Klein was a huge force. I mean, that character in particular, I grew up in Northern California with like a lot of Patagonia moms who are like,
oh my God,
hiking.
Oh my God.
And like, they were like part of charities and like doing good, but like extremely entitled and like rich. And so when Renata Klein happened, I was like, this is like a satire of where I grew up. And that show is a satire. Like, it's so overdone that it's hysterical.
I mean, the fact that Reese Witherspoon, isn't she like trying to, something about like the musical Avenue Q, that to me already is.
That's right.
Important.
Yeah. All those moms are important. Renata was amazing. I mean, that performance is, when she's talking, so moment to moment, in that Big Little Lies, in the first season, she has a conversation with the school principal. And she's talking about her daughter, Annabella, genius yes. name. The writing on that show is insane. And she's like, I'm going to paraphrase the line, but she's like, so last year my child was bullied and bit. So we're going to make sure that doesn't happen again. And then so it's all said with a smile because she's going to be a good mom. And she's going to make this principal love her. So like, that's what's happening underneath it. But then she turns around and there's a marching band just like suddenly walking down the hallway. And she's like, oh. And you see her disgust
at
that. And I'm like, oh, that little specificity is perfect. So there's Renata Klein. But one of the most incredible performances, and I credit John Early for giving me this gift of watching Mike White's Enlightened on HBO.
Mm.
Laura Dern playing Amy Jellicoe is one of the most devastating performances in our catalog. It's so... oh my God, it's unbelievable. She has so many scenes, but there's this one scene, she's like obsessed with her ex-boyfriend, Luke Wilson's character, and can't let him go. And he's an addict and she's trying to control him. Like, I relate. And she's like gone to this healing retreat place where she's gotten recovery. And so she suddenly feels really empowered with spirit to change people and to do good in the world. And she
talk about self-revelation.
Oh my God. I mean, this character is the queen of it. I love this show so much. And there's this one scene where she calls Luke Wilson's character and you know that she's like been thinking about the phone call for hours, been thinking about what he's doing and like, when is it appropriate to call, like obsessing the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls him and she gets three words from the writer. Hi, hi, hi. And what Laura Dern does with those three words, I mean, it's perfect, because inside those three words is, I'm trying to make you believe that I'm chill.
Ugh.
And I'm trying to make you believe that I love you. And also that this is just a casual phone call, which it's not. And so that one, it's like, hey, hi, hey. I have a video of it. I'll send it to you.
Please do. So good at giving us the visuals, even in your words, because I can see it. I can see it.
And then, okay, my last one, because this is my other reference point of why she is the best character actor of our time and needs to live on with me. Did you see Marriage Story?
I did.
Okay. So Marriage Story actually has another character actress who's very important and has one scene in that movie that's legendary. But Laura Dern plays Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver's like lawyer in the like moderation process of the divorce. And there's a scene where they're like figuring it out and Alan Arkin's there and there's like, they're like in a conference room.
Yes.
And it's proposed that they need to order lunch. And like, this is why I love her, is because like, she is listening with her entire body at all times. She's just a fucking animal in the room. And she's like owning this conference room and there's like assistants around. And this assistant like starts to show everyone the menu for the sandwich place that they like clearly always order from.
Yeah.
And he takes the order from everyone else. I watch this scene like bi-monthly. I come back to it. I don't watch the whole movie because it's like insane and whatever. Noah Baumbach's like sometimes cool. But the assistant like turns to Laura Dern to confirm her order because he's an assistant and he knows.
Right.
And before he can say it, she physically does this with her hand as she says, kale salad. Kale salad. And I mean, that just speaks volumes about who this person is, that like she's eating kale salad. She knows her order. She gets the same thing every time. And also the grab is like, let's get back to this meeting. Cause she also does this right after. And it's, I just highly recommend coming back to that scene. It's so good.
Well, I think your homework post recording is to send me those two clips, kale salad and hi, hi, hi.
Hi. Hi. Yeah.
Wow. Gus, you have given us a masterclass in proving your love for a character actress. And that is a gift that I do not take for granted.
Thank you. I had a lot of runner-ups, Eric. Like, it was hard. I think, like, I want to ask you.
Give me a snapshot of who are the runner-ups.
Oh, my God. Niecy Nash.
And love.
Getting on an HBO, talking about a piece of shit on a chair, or like speaking Mandarin to Alex Borstein. Like, she deserves an Oscar for that. Laurie Metcalf on Getting On, her whole career.
Huge.
Mare Winningham. Oh God, she's amazing. So
these I think what we're proving here is that just like Dan Grossi Pelosi, you will need a reunion episode of Gay Ass Podcast where we can dive into our ranks.
I would love to. I need to know. I mean, I know some of yours. Why do you think, why is a character actor so gay?
I think Well, I think it's because, I honestly think it's because of the powerful women of it all. I even, like, on the Bachelor Party episode I just put up, it's like, I talk about how the negativity we get from the world is mostly from straight men. I of course have beautiful straight men in my life who deserve only good things to be said about them in particular. As a whole,
yeah,
not great. And then on the flip side, the women who are the people that tell us to take up space, your mother telling you not to shave your body, the women in school who sit with us at lunch, I think when we see them on screen in larger than life roles who are showing us their ugliness and proving that they are human, but also fucking powerful, beautiful, flawed, hilarious, mean, whatever it is, I think like that mirrors back to us the affirmation that we're okay to be us, if I may be so disgustingly gay. I just think like that to me, it's a reason why this question is quite like, it's hard to answer because it's hard to choose one, but it's easy to pull up an immediate list of women. And I think that you really beautifully illustrate that, like, the love, how deep that love comes from within you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think you articulated it so beautifully. I never thought of that. It's like, it's almost like they like hit an artery in us. Like, that's what it feels like when you ask me that question and I start going through and I'm like, oh my God, this has been such a huge part of my life and I didn't realize it. Like, you kind of like do the assumptive, like I'm just so like burnt on the like iconography around like Jennifer Coolidge and the way we just like pick one woman and just like deify them for 30 minutes and then like the next one goes.
Well, there's a lot to be said for the things that the disappointment that we can feel over Jennifer Coolidge does deserve flowers,
but
what has been done to her in the mainstream lately. It's like made it, it's made it, it's, it has taken away something, I feel.
Yeah. And honestly, like I take some responsibility in that. Like, I feel like gay men like can really like, they're loud and we start like being like, yes, slay mama. Yes, you're this mama. And like, we don't even know what we're talking about. We're just like using the buzzwords that we know we're supposed to use from like RuPaul's Drag Race. And it just becomes this like whirlwind where
we don't know what the ramifications are of us like leaning in so hard. I think that's also what it is. It's like,
yeah,
oh my God, someone finally is putting Jennifer Coolidge on a yacht with gay men on a prestige television show. Yes, mama, slay, boots the house down. And yet, here we are. There's too much discourse.
There's too much discourse. And also, like, it just screams that, like, I mean, some of these television shows, like Michael Patrick Thornton, like, admitted with Evan Ross Katz that he's, like, sometimes thinking about the meme that will be created one from his shows. And I'm just like, I love that because I love Evan and I love that, like, that's, it's a fun, playful world. But then I'm also like, let Laura Dern keep being Laura Dern. And like, tell Jennifer Coolidge now, like, how to, because like, now I just feel like she's like trapped in this thing and like has to say like funny gay lines for
us. Right. The beauty is that it comes from them. And yes, then there's that universality versus deciding what's the universal meme and then making them do that. It's like, no, they are not the monkey in the cage. We, are the, there's somehow that analogy works.
I mean, like, Laura Dern has no clue. Like, when you hear her in interviews, she like doesn't understand why like someone like me or you would be obsessed with her. She's like, I'm just playing the reality of this person.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sorry, why do you think that's funny?
That's like, also like, this is different but similar, where there's the Cate Blanchett interview where they ask her about the gaze, and I think it's G-A-Z-E, but she hears G-A-Y-S, and then she does a limp wrist. Like, that's a clip that needs to be resurfaced. But listen, Gus, while we're proving that a return episode is mandatory, I need to close out this episode with the final question. Gus, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
The Color Purple.
In theaters, whenever that's coming out. The new musical, or the musical version, I cannot wait for. But got a gorgeous answer. And Gus, a gorgeous guest. Tell me, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok. And probably on a couple news articles that pop up from years past.
Oh, I read one from 2010. I did. There was an interview. Obsessed. It was good.
Can't wait. So gus.hegerty, H-E-A-G-E-R-T-Y. That's my Instagram handle. And I think it's the same on TikTok. I hope I sync those up. I don't know. But follow me on Instagram.
It'll be linked in the description. And Gus, I cannot wait to see you IRL whenever that is again. And I cannot thank you enough for such a gorgeous episode. I mean that.
God. Thank you, Eric. It was a pleasure. This is the best bar mitzvah ever.
Mazel tov!
Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I love having you here every single week. And if you want more of this, check out the Patreon for bonus episodes, only $5 a month. And this week, talking about some real life shit for me, dealing with adult friendship breakups. Brutal, but it does play a role in my gayness. And I think you might get a lot out of it. I'll see you in New York on November 3rd for the New York Comedy Festival Gay Ass Live Show. And I'll see you next week on That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're
you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.